Armstrong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello everyone and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 27th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm good, Taryn. Let's do this as quickly as possible. As everyone knows, you've been trying to get into hiding. You got the fresh haircut going. Your identity is changing as we know it. And let's just hide you, man. Let's hide you quick.
Yeah, I'm running away as we speak. Yeah. I couldn't sleep last night from the terror. I woke up this morning in shock. Still, I was like, I don't believe that it's real, that Caitlin is gone. We're not used to this sudden shock. We were blindsided last night, and so was production, and so was everybody. Like usually, we have so much time to be like, you know what, this person's leaving. We're gonna come to terms with it, but in just 2.5 minutes we came to discover no, she's gone, she's never coming back into our lives, or at least not this season. And I don't know what I'm doing with my life anymore, Puya.
No, man, it's like Rob said this morning, it's like a bad dream. I don't think anyone believes that I actually went down the way it did. This was unlike anything we had seen. I feel like, you know, Judd going out in the double eviction, that was a bit of a shocker. This puts that to shame. This puts everything to shame. I don't think anybody in the building worldwide thought that was going to go down the way it did. It was an 8-piece puzzle. She couldn't get herself to put it together, and it broke her apart, and now she's gone.
It did. Rob has been in the chat all morning. He says he's still mourning. He says that they say it gets easier every day, but we'll see. The time is the only thing that that can change. That can heal your wounds, Rob. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. So let's talk, because there's plenty to talk about prior to the eviction. There's plenty to talk about the eviction, and there's plenty to talk about after the eviction. So let's go. Man, people are really commenting. This is me fresh out of the shower. I've not done anything to my hair. I legitimately woke up very early this morning. I think the excitement from the previous night was not good for my sleep, so I had plenty of time this morning to work out and shower and stuff, which I don't usually have. But I'm also like totally wired right now, so we'll see how this goes. Yesterday before the eviction, we finally got the conversation that I had been alluding to prior in the days prior, that Fessy and Tyler finally came together, and they were like, all right, like they had this conversation. Caitlin told both of us that she has feelings for both of us. It was kind of a disappointing conversation, to be honest, because first of all, they were having it on that stupid skywalk, whatever they want to call it, balcony, where, you know, there's always people in the kitchen, and by people I mean JC, screaming their heads off so we can't hear a word anyone is saying. And also they like cut away from this conversation multiple times because they kept talking about Joe, the ex-boyfriend. So it was kind of a disappointing conversation, but it did happen, and Tyler played it well, because this is one of the things that's going to have some like far-reaching consequences in terms of Tyler, like, oh, she played me, oh man.
Yeah, I feel like this conversation was key for Tyler to look like a bit of a dummy, like someone who got fooled and bamboozled. And what better person to be compared to in a situation like that than Fessy, who, you know, has been seen as this dummy, this bamboozled person with Caitlin. So for them to compare notes, it was good. They pretty much get to the point that it seems like everything she was telling you, she was telling me. We had very similar conversations. She would pull the microphone off under the pillows and then whisper into the pillow so that no one else could catch it. And then a little later on last night, we get confirmation that Brett was getting some things too. So all the Caitlin secrets are now out in the open, except for that one that'll ruin her life, which we still don't know what that could be.
Yes. So that conversation happened. There are also lots of conversations kind of finally confirming the vote, because it was something that wasn't completely confirmed until just yesterday. They're you know, Haley is talking to people. Everyone's kind of being like, yes, we're all agreeing. Caitlin's going to leave. This is happening. And then we have another important conversation. And it seems like a lot of people missed this, but I was watching this and I was like, oh, Caitlin again, you know, spilling everything that Tyler tells her, throwing Tyler under the bus. But it's actually going to be a very important conversation. So remember yesterday when I told you about the conversation that happened on the previous day when Tyler went to Caitlin and said, you don't have the votes. Or he said that, like, hey, don't trust some people. And she was like, who are the people? And he finally said, Haley and Fessy, these people are against you. And then he counted out her votes. He said, you have he said you have me, Rachel, Angela, Brett, who's the other person? Casey and Bailey. Bailey is your sixth vote. You cannot trust Haley and Fessy. They are voting against you. I promise you. Caitlin did not believe him. And so, you know, obviously what happens is that Caitlin always spews this information everywhere. And so yesterday, prior to the eviction, she has a conversation with Bailey. And she tells Bailey all about this conversation. She says, Tyler was telling me things, but he said he couldn't tell me a whole lot because he knows that I'm me and that I'd blow it up, like she's doing right now to Bailey. And I was just like, man, maybe it is good for Tyler's game that Caitlin's leaving, because she keeps blowing everything up. She keeps telling everybody all of what Tyler tells her. But Bailey is like, oh, yeah, that was probably the right decision to not tell you everything, actually. That's probably the right decision. And then Caitlin says, and the way that she says this is important, she says, he said that you were the only person that I could trust on your side of the house, because basically he said, don't trust Haley, don't trust Fessy. Rockstar's on the block. Obviously that's not somebody she can count on, which means that, Bailey is the only person that is on Caitlin's side, according to Tyler. Caitlin thinks this is a lie. Caitlin thinks this is not true. She thinks she's throwing Tyler under the bus here. But what Bailey is hearing is, hey, Tyler's sticking up for me. Tyler's telling Caitlin that she can trust me. And again, this is going to come into play later on in the day. But this conversation happens, and very, 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 very key, especially since Caitlin is going to end up not coming back into the house.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those things where we've talked about how this Tyler Bailey thing is kind of contentious. We talked about it last week, you and I, about how the fact that Tyler seems like the sane one amongst all these crazy people. That's why Bailey kind of feels like she can talk to him. She can level with him. But there was always this mistrust. There's always this bit of like, I don't know if I'm fully there with him. I don't know how he sees me completely. And this is one of those few things that can validate it, is that, listen, I don't know what he thinks about my other people, but he's telling her I'm good in her books. Therefore, if she is to come back, she is to win. I'm safe because he's got my back. So it's a very good validating thing to get. You know, we talk about how with Survivor, like, going to tribal is good because you get to see the votes and who's with you and who's not with you. Because of Big Brother having such limited moments of, like, you can vote for one or the other, and there's all these hinkies right this season, this is one of the few validating things where it's like, why would he tell his number one ally this if he doesn't believe it? Therefore, it must be true. And Caitlin, her delivery was just god awful, because she was trying to go for the opposite thing. She ended up just doing him more favors. So,
yeah, because again, like, Bailey doesn't hear this coming from a perspective about the vote. She's what she is hearing from Caitlin is, Tyler told me to trust you. Tyler told me that I can trust you. And that is going to definitely be something that helps him out down the line. Tyler then does talk to Caitlin prior to the eviction. He's really buttering her up for the roasting that she's about to get. You are all about love and light. You're the most beautiful person I've ever known. And she still refuses. She says, I do not believe that Fessy has it in him to vote me out. She thinks that she is staying all the way up until at least the feeds cut. She definitely looked pissed by the time the vote came in, so I don't know if something changed at that point, but she very much buttered up by Tyler. We then see, of course, Caitlin evicted by a vote of 9-1, where Tyler, no Fessy, no Haley, no JC was the one vote to keep her, and the bonus life is activated. Here we go. All right. Everybody's calm your horses. Don't get too excited because Caitlin is staying in this game. She goes to compete in the puzzle where she gets 2.5 minutes to complete something that should take about 45 seconds tops. She can't do it. And we've heard from multiple different sources at this point, or at least what appear to be multiple different sources, that production had no intention whatsoever for her to fail this, that they told the studio audience prior to this that there's nobody's coming out today to talk with Julie. Don't expect somebody. There's going to be no evicted house guest leaving the house. They said that this should be something that she should easily be able to handle. And then when she failed, apparently they were not set up for it. They had to scramble to get an interview put together. One of the producers apparently said it was the first time in 10 seasons they weren't able to fit an interview into the live show because they were just not prepared for it. Caitlin is just, she throws everyone for a loop. Even Grodner can't control Caitlin.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've talked about extensively this week, Taryn, about how both people on the block were going out of their way to put the target on themselves. It seems like we're just like fumbling all over the place. Caitlin topped everything by messing that ending up. I feel like 2 minutes, 30 seconds was a weird time to give. It wasn't 3 and it wasn't 2. So you've got to imagine it was 2. They bumped it up to 30 just to be safe. Again, 8 pieces. You put them underneath this hole. You set them up on this side and it's done. It should not have taken her that long. You could tell she was panicking. She broke down in the moment. No. She couldn't. She had shut down. It was done. And then when she set it up on the floor and couldn't pick it up, the panic in her eyes, like I feel like that's when I know I'm like, I don't think she's going to get this done. Like, this is not going to happen. It should. There was no eviction. There was no seat. There was no setup there. We came back from commercial. It was 4 minutes left and we knew we were not going to get the exit interview. We ended up having to wait for around midnight. Well, alleged midnight ends up being like 1 a.m. To get the interview. This was amazing. Again, none of us thought this was possible. No one. The entire week, we're all talking about how this hasn't been a dud week because it's been very entertaining. But ultimately, there's going to be someone coming back. A lot of us were rooting for Caitlin to be the one voted out so she could win, come back, win HOH potentially and watch the house go to hell. But she couldn't do that. And it's just weird.
She had to go so far out of her way this week to be evicted. She had so many chances between just like keeping her mouth shut on the block, not trusting Fessy and Haley, not, you know, throwing the veto to Fessy. By the way, I tweeted this out. I do believe that she did try to throw the veto. Not that it would have mattered anyway, but I 100% believe that Caitlin cares more about putting herself in the situation where Fessy is either her superhero or the supervillain where she is the victim than she does about the game or keeping herself in the game. So I completely believe that she wanted to be in that position. That's why she would have chosen Fessy regardless of whether or not Haley was also going to, regardless of whether or not he promised Haley. That's why she made the deal with Fessy already knowing that he had promised Haley. So I absolutely believe that she put herself in that spot, and then she put herself in a spot where now if Fessy votes against me, it's his fault. It's his fault that I'm going home. She opened her mouth to Angela. She totally got herself evicted. And then like the puzzle is just a perfect metaphor for that whole situation where then she has so much time to do this and she needs to do so many things to, like, I don't think there's a possible way that anyone could have handled this puzzle worse other than just pull a complete beast mode and just sit down, which she pulled like a half beast mode and sat down for some of it. So it's completely wild. And I said like there was no bad outcome because I don't think this was necessarily a bad outcome. I think it was a fantastic episode of television, but I do think it was probably the worst outcome. I am actually very sad to see Caitlin go. And like I said, I woke up this morning like, what is this house even like? What even is this without Caitlin in there? But yes, Caitlin is now gone from the house. We did see her exit interview after the fact, and we got very tame goodbye messages from Fessy, who called her his best friend always. And Tyler, who was very nice. Apparently, I mean, they both said after the eviction and prior to the eviction that they taped some mean goodbye messages. I am assuming that they taped taped two different ones. You know, I know that Fessy had said one or had made one earlier in the week, and then he made another one. I guarantee you that they just chose to air the lighter versions. They didn't want anyone telling her that her boyfriend had broken up with her. I think, you know, ultimately, especially since it wasn't even for the show, they did the right thing here. Caitlin has enough stuff to deal with post house than having to deal with that, like, at that moment. You know, would have been fun to see, but at the same time, like, you know, she, after all she went through, I can kind of understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, definitely. At this point, like, she just had the worst possible night. She had an opportunity. She knows she blew it big time. It wasn't even at this point. Also, it was going to be on YouTube. So, like, exactly. It's not even on prime time. Right. So don't bother. Don't give us that. So I feel like that was the way to go. I have to admit, though, I was very excited for the exit interview. Kind of left it thinking, eh, whatever, because even her answers to the questions were kind of like, well, it was meant to be. Like, I hate to say, yeah, I don't regret it. It was supposed to be this way. Like, it was kind of like more of the same.
That's what makes her so good at being infuriating, is that no matter what happens, she will just say, no, it's just all for the higher good. And that's just what things were supposed to be. You know, like, and that's why, you know, her ex-boyfriend's sister is like, please tell us all the dirt, because we don't want her to just, like, come and be like, no, it was just a game and that's what it was supposed to be. Because, you know, that's what she's going to say. Or she's going to be like, you know what, if you can't trust me when I'm in the house doing those things, then it's just not meant to be between us. And, like, she's going to try and spin it like she's breaking up with Joe or something. Rob did mention she did talk about Tyler's dad with Julie, which I think you could see Julie cringe a bit, like, oh man,
yeah,
please do not. If anything you know, made me inclined to, like, be like, all right guys, bring out the harsh goodbye messages, that was one of them. That's it. Caitlin's gone from the game. No more Caitlin. I know Brent thinks that that means no more Caitlin voice, but man, when I find something that annoys Brent, I think we're gonna have to keep it alive.
I don't doubt for one second that's going to keep coming back. You guys are going to talk about it a bunch. The closer we get to finale, you know you're going to bring that up even more. So, Brent, your worst nightmare has come true. It's happening.
Yeah, you can't. You can take Caitlin away from our screens, but you can't take her away from our hearts and our voices. So then the feeds are down. The feeds are down for a while. They don't start the HOH competition for a bit here. But when they do finally come back, we have a new HOH. And it's Bailey. Bailey, of all people. Yeah. I've been talking all week about how Bailey is in the best spot in the house. And what does she do? She goes and she wins HOH. What are you doing to me, Bailey?
It happens, Taryn. This is that season where, like, the one person you expect should be fine and shouldn't win the HOH is the one that goes ahead and wins it. The one that really doesn't need the spotlight on them goes ahead and grabs it. So, yes, Bailey is our new HOH. And it seems like she handily had it, with the exception of Casey being close. Is what it seems like.
Yes, I don't think we can blame Bailey for this. I think that what I heard happened is that she went first. It was one of those kinds of things. It was kind of a luck thing. She went first and got the best time, and then nobody beat her. So she may not have been trying to win this. So I'm going to reserve judgment on that one. But this is definitely not good for her game. She was in a very good spot, and this could end up disrupting that if she's not careful. And I don't know how careful she's been. She's kind of potentially making some questionable decisions here, but we'll talk it through. Because my immediate thought is like, wow, okay, Bailey won the H. Okay, well, at least she's probably just going to put up like Brett and Tyler. That's the easy choice. She's bonded with the women, so on and so forth. But Tyler is one of the first people she talks to when the feeds come back up. And Caitlin is gone, and all of a sudden Tyler is just like back in the driver's seat, doing some very good work with Bailey. It's just been it's been such a tough week for me, you know, like, oh yeah, just everything with Caitlin and, oh yeah. Yep. Caitlin was just, you know, I talked to Fessy and we found out some things and, you know, I'm still reeling from that a bit. And Bailey's like, oh, I understand, Tyler. I went through the same thing with Swaggy and like, I get it. Like I just want you to be able to rest for a week. I just, you know, you're safe. Don't worry about it. I want you to have a reset week. I understand, like, you're probably reeling from all these revelations. And he was like, yeah, I was just trying to be a good guy. And she was like, you are a good guy, Tyler. You're such a good guy. You're so honest. You're so good. You know, you're very loyal, clearly. You know, it's the only thing is that it's just you haven't been loyal to me. Like, we haven't been on the same team, but I know you're a good team member. So I just want you to be on my team. And he's like, yeah, you know, now that Caitlin's gone, I'm basically a free agent, you know, lone wolf kind of thing. And Bailey's like, you know, I'm just going to scoop you right up, Tyler. And he's like, oh man, I would really like that. That would be great. Doing some good work here.
Yeah, I mean, literally all it took was Caitlin to go for all of his emotional capital to open back up. Now he can reinvest all of that time and all of that control in other people. And the fact that he looks like the quote unquote wounded bird that everyone sees him as right now, a lot more people have turned around to the idea that, oh, Caitlin was super manipulative. And with all these stories coming out that she was saying these things to Fessy and to him, and she seemed this type of way, yada, yada, yada. People don't blame Tyler for anything. People want to take Tyler in and hug him. And Bailey was saying, you know, I want you to use this week to discover who Tyler is. So Tyler kind of gets off scot-free here, honestly. It's looking pretty good. Obviously, his name did come up one or two times last night, as it should. But it's also looking like those were just little conversations when Fessy initially was talking to Bailey and nothing too concrete. He did talk to Bailey and say, it's like, if you want to put me up, it's fine. Just, you know, give me a warning. Like, that's, you know, obviously, because homeboy's got the cloud, so he's just, you know, trying to make that happen. But no, it seems like for all intents and purposes, he is safe this week and not going to be touched. Even though, as you said, he is part of that shortlist because Bailey is someone who just made a lot of good inroads these last couple weeks with Swaggy gone, to the point where her list is like three people plus like a kicker for like a renom potential. So then the thing is, with us watching JC give that hinky vote last night, no one's buying that it's Tyler. Everyone's buying that Tyler's being set up to be, you know, framed here. So where people are more concerned about that, they're just sorry that Tyler has to deal with this rogue vote nonsense.
Yeah, nobody even close to thinks it's Tyler. They all immediately thought somebody is trying to frame poor Tyler. Apparently, I think this came out last night. I think this was potentially when the feeds were down. Bailey said that Tyler came to her crying before the eviction. You know, he really put in some good work with Bailey, both prior to and after the eviction. A lot of people thought that Bailey might be playing Tyler here, but I really, really don't think so, considering all of the comments she made after this conversation. Anytime, you know, anybody talked about Tyler, she pretty quickly was like, I'm not going to nominate Tyler. I want him to have a week off. I feel like he's a wounded bird. That came up. And the only time she even mentioned Tyler was when it seemed like there were two people that mentioned Tyler, Fessy and Haley. And when they brought his name up, she was like, yeah, you know, we don't trust him, but let's keep him around for now. Maybe we'll think about it later. But with anyone who was like, no, we like Tyler, she was like, yeah, I like Tyler. Let's work on Tyler. Which tells me she genuinely feels this way.
Yeah, no, definitely she does. And the one thing also I feel like is a factor into her feeling this way is the fact that she was telling Fessy, we can always take Tyler out with the power, with the power app. So we're fine. So like she knows how Tyler is. She likes him. She doesn't trust him all that much, let's say, but she still likes who he is and she wants to reel him in. And she feels like this is the chance to do so. And in the event that she wants to get rid of him, she would rather do it behind the wall, by doing the power app and doing the identity theft. So it seems like he's fine right now. He genuinely with her, he's fine. And I think if he's playing his cards right, he's going to work a good relationship with her this week.
Yeah. And like she is looking to form something long term with him, you know, and any other comment, I think, is meant to deflect from that. Right. And so, you know, anyone that's like talking about how oh, Bailey knows exactly what Tyler's doing. I believe Bailey is absolutely genuine in this conversation. And we'll see that later as well, especially toward the end of the day when she talks to Casey, who I think is one of the people she is most honest with. And Casey has one of the best conversations with her, and that was just a few hours ago, so we're gonna have a long night ahead of us. Tyler, as we mentioned, when the feeds come back, he also talks to Rockstar. He tells her that vote was not me. She's like, I believe you, Tyler. She thinks it was her best friend Brett, of course. It was Brett. JC has a brief conversation with Fessy. He talks about like, we need to protect Tyler. And Fessy's like, I agree. I want Tyler on our side. So like everybody is like eyes on Tyler, wounded bird. We need to protect him. We need to reel him in. And then we get JC, Rachel, and Angela. They're discussing the game plan. They're talking about one of the other storylines of the night, which is that Scotty is the one that is taking the blame for this vote. Of course, he was not the vote. It was JC. But Scotty was the swaggy flip vote, and he has admitted it now. And so everyone thinks, well, there are a few pieces of evidence here. He flipped on the swaggy vote. He was super mad about Tyler during his HOH reign. And Tyler's the one that's being framed, clearly. So that's evidence. He was being super sketchy both prior to and after the vote. So clearly it must be Scotty. Almost everyone believes it was Scotty. Nobody suspects JC. Nobody suspects Tyler. Some people suspect Rachel. Some people suspect Brett. But almost everyone thinks it was Scotty. And so Rachel, JC, and Angela are going to talk about like, all right, hey, let's try and get Scotty nominated, Scotty targeted. They just want to prevent Brett and Tyler from both going up on the block. They want to do anything they can to protect level six. And that means if JC has to go home, if Scotty has to go home, whatever it is, they're going to try and make that happen. And that's the game plan for the night.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they want to do. I want to talk about one other thing with Scotty. They've also felt like he's being extra. He does extra things. Like they pretty much that whole swaggy thing was really extra. And then if you guys look, there was one photo from last night, one still from last night when Caitlyn's going. Scotty's the only one sitting on the couch, not moving. Like that kind of behavior, given his past, does look sketchy because it's like you're just overselling, right? So these little things, I feel like, also push that agenda. But yeah, Scotty's name is the prime recipient of the blame for this vote. And he is the level six's ideal person to target here. They want him put up so that Brett and Tyler remain off. At least not both of them together are put up. Little do they know that Tyler's going to be fine no matter what.
So. Yes. We did get, as we briefly alluded to earlier, Fessy, JC, Rachel, Brett, Angela, just a group of people here, just having the Caitlyn exposed party, she told me she had feelings for me. And then, Brett's like, yeah, man. Like, and they're like, what? Brett too? No. And what did she do with you? And he was like, well, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. And he's like, come on. And he's like, well, you know, day two, you know, she got into my bed and she put the covers up and she dropped the mic down and she like whispered to me like, you know, if I didn't have a boyfriend, I'd totally F you right now. And they're like, what? No way. And they were like, and Fessy was like, did she ever try to touch your penis? He was like, no, I successfully was able to deflect that. Sorry about the ringing on the podcast. So it's still happening. All right. So they're talking about that and going nuts. Hold on. Let me just keep talking here for a little bit. So they're talking about the Caitlyn stuff. They're talking about like all the things that Caitlyn did. They're talking about, you know, is Joe real? I don't think Joe's real. He's definitely not real. Joe, where's Joe? Where is he? Where's Joe? Rob says, guys, it's Caitlyn, the ring.
I'm coming for you, Taryn.
Yes. Lots of Caitlyn talk. She's trying to get us to stop. Maybe it's her boyfriend telling us that we're not allowed to talk about him.
He's trying to cut you off, as his hit single would suggest. Yeah, so essentially we get the talks. We get the HOH talk where, you know, Caitlyn tries to lock the door. Fessy doesn't let her. When asked about the junk touching, Brett says, no, she was just trying to back up into me and I just having to back up further back. So they kind of all have like put this out in the open. They've talked about how she, you know, played the way she did. They don't believe Joe's a thing. And then obviously once his name came up one too many times, feeds cut on that camera and we didn't see it again. Then it came back. So just about what you would expect once Caitlyn had left the house.
Yes. So then we got Haley and Rockstar just getting a glimpse of what Haley is up to, because I do think that Haley is sort of, you know, I felt like she was doing well in the first week, maybe a little bit in the second. But then once she found out about the swaggy backdoor, she kind of like disappeared a little bit. She was kind of like got a little scared. I think she started playing a little scared. But you know, she feels very confident now. She feels like she was an instrumental part of the vote flip against Caitlyn, which she was. And so she's playing a little more confidently now. So I think it's good to get a glimpse of where her head is at. She actually wants Sam to go this week, if possible. Yeah. She feels like, if Sam wins HOH, then it's just going to be Haley and Rockstar back up on the block. So that's going to be her goal. She's probably not going to come anywhere close to getting that goal accomplished this week, but just to check in with Haley there. Rachel and Casey are going to quickly, Rachel's going to quickly fill Casey in on the Scotty plan. And then Casey and Tyler are going to go to Sam and tell Sam about Scotty and tell her that he flipped on Scotty, or he flipped on Swaggy. He just tried to pin this vote on Tyler. He can't be trusted. And, you know, they're trying to pull Sam away from Scotty as much as possible because she loves Scotty. He's so innocent and these girls are trying to play him. They're starting to do this. Some of that work last night.
Yeah. It's essentially level six's mission was, okay, let's go unhinge every connection Scotty has just a little bit so that the whole house is kind of complacent with this decision so we can really push forward and get a result out of it. But ultimately, it comes down to, I feel like, that conversation Tyler and Bailey were having at the beginning where she asks him about her relationship with Scotty. She's like, I know you and Sam have a tight thing, so I'm not going to even ask you about that. I'm not touching that. But where are you with Scotty? And Tyler kind of goes, honestly, I feel like we've been drifting away. Mm. And I feel like that is kind of key for something like this, where you hear about this, then you hear that. Obviously, Bailey had talked about Scotty after this conversation, a little bit of potentially putting him in as a renom. And she tells Tyler, you know, if I do something crazy and I pick you for the veto, I need you to gun for it. He's like, I'm going to gun for that veto. I'll win that effing thing. I've got you. So that kind of brings him in. But again, Scotty is someone that they're all bringing up, but it looks like she wants Brett. And then for like a big part of the night, she wanted JC. And then after her talk with Fessy, maybe Rachel comes into the fold. So that's like the four people shortlist you're seeing right now is Scotty, JC, Brett, and Rachel.
Yeah, and Brett in particular, but also some of the other level six members are kind of starting to realize what a mistake they made evicting Caitlyn, realizing that, man, if Caitlyn were still in this house, she would probably be Bailey's target right now. And we would all be fine, which is 100% correct. They're kind of start like, what did we just do? We were all so scared of this competition beast who would beat us all in everything. I guarantee you Rockstar would have been able to put that puzzle together. A bit of a mistake there. But yeah, so Then we're going to get the HOH room reveal, and then we're going to start to do one-on-ones. And the first person up is going to be Haley, who starts in on, you know, oh, I'm fine with whatever, but, you know, Sam is kind of threatening, maybe. And Bailey's like, oh, I'm really close to Sam. She's like, oh, okay, that's fine. That's cool. Whatever. I didn't really think that. I just, like, you know, she kind of, like, you know, she kind of, like, came at me about the guy thing, and Bailey's kind of like, well, she did kind of have a point. I was like, what are you serious right now, Bailey? Come on.
We're all rooting for you, Bailey. Don't say that. And Haley's thing was like, if she wins again, she's probably gonna put me and Rockstar up again. And then Bailey's like, nah, that's not happening. But I want you to be my confidant. I want you to be my advisor this week. I want you to be my eyes and ears outside of this room, gather information. She essentially says the similar thing to Rockstar. I feel like she wants these two to be out there and work the people. Haley said she's going to work on Tyler, so that's going to be a plan in motion. And Bailey's just going to try and take as much information in as she can. And I'm not sure, Taryn. I don't know what I missed. I didn't realize Bailey and Sam were this quote-unquote close.
Well, it happened last week, or at least a large part of it happened last week, because they had a lot of different conversations. Part of it, I think, was Bailey trying to prevent herself from being nominated as the replacement, but they especially had a long conversation that time that Bailey came up and interrupted Sam's conversation with Tyler about the replacement nominee, and then cried to them about how, you know, she doesn't want to be the angry black woman, and right. Then she came out about the pageant stuff and about her JC argument, and Sam was just like, I love you. And so yeah, Bailey is kind of like, no, yeah, she, Sam kind of has a point, Haley. And they kind of argued about it a little bit. And then Bailey is like, okay, so now you need to use those feminine wiles and go get Tyler, go back to Tyler. And Haley's like, yeah, now I feel like I can talk to Tyler again. You know, we were pretty close in that first week. So, maybe that's something that, that I should be doing. But you know, of course, she as soon as she does that, she's gonna get she's gonna find out that the real anchor here is Fessy. Tyler's got a lot of hair to play with. That's really threatening to Fessy. So they have this conversation, and this is when Bailey reveals, here's what I'm thinking. I'm leaning toward nominating Brett and JC, with Brett as the target. And if the veto is used, Scotty is the backdoor. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, Bailey? Why Scotty? He is like the most loyal person to you. He has nobody else in the game, Bailey. No.
It just comes down to the fact that Scotty was mad extra and did a lot of theatrics to get to put the vote on Swaggy there. Wore his clothes, and then the fact that we thought, okay, he opened up to her about the vote. That's good honesty. That's good for the game. But at the same time, she also saw it as he was definitely pandering for a power up. What else is he going to do to pander? What else is he going to do to, like, just be a showman? So that makes him more of a wild card at this point for her, at least to the point where she's going to consider him as an option three or an option four.
Yeah. Basically how she views Scotty is like, he's a wild card. He's an evil genius. He does these things, like, she understands the move to flip on Swaggy, but she feels like doing it in his shirt was a bit extra. She doesn't like that. And she worries about what he might do in the future. Her general feelings are like, you know, Scotty, he's kind of an evil genius, but at least he's our evil genius, which is half true. He is theirs. He's not an evil genius, but he is theirs. Right. Yeah. So she doesn't really want to target him, but he is in the crosshairs. And I would not put it past this week to see a Scotty eviction. It's definitely possible, especially considering the influence that the level six women have on Bailey. But we'll have to see as we go through these conversations. So that's the plan. They both, like I said, think that Scotty was the hinky vote, but they both think it's probably not worth getting Scotty out, but maybe being used as a pawn or a replacement in a veto scenario, at which point, if Scotty touches that block, you know, get ready to say our goodbyes. I think Scotty will go home. So then we had Angela talk to Bailey. They had a brief but good conversation. Bailey really likes Angela. Angela was the person that Bailey bonded with the most early on in the game, but then Swaggy kind of had a thing with her, and so that kind of tore them apart. And then and then Bailey's like, now like we can be friends again now that Caitlyn is out. Like she, a lot of people talked about like this house is so different without Caitlyn. It just feels like there's a pressure that's been lifted from it. And it's like, yeah. And we're going to miss that pressure. So they feel very good about that. They talk about the Women's Alliance. They talk about how they want a woman to win the game. And they both say that they will not under any circumstances vote for a man in the final two. If he is against a woman, they will only vote for women in the final two if they are on the jury. And they also call themselves the Amazons.
Yep, that is their new nickname. Shout out Rob Sesternino in the chat. It's an homage to your season. We all know that. And that was a big theme last night, Taryn, where they talked about the Women's Alliance. They talked about, I believe she was talking to Haley about this, where, well, we shouldn't put all three men. It shouldn't be two men and then Rena man, because then we're out in the alliance. So that came into play, and that's where Rachel's name starts coming up, because Bailey's like, I feel like the only woman I'd be comfortable putting up at that point is Rachel. But also, I feel like Rachel's going to be livid because Rachel has seemed to be pretty upset about little things like that, like hosting the veto. Like they had this conversation about HOH and who would be hosting, and she seems to take it personal. Another thing is that apparently when Bailey won, Rachel was not all that enthusiastic, was not celebrating that Bailey won. So these are all little key factors that have put Rachel in the crosshairs again, not to be voted out, just to be renomed. She feels justified in doing that, but also it comes back to the fact that if Rachel's like this, if she's a little hot-headed, Bailey knows that. Bailey's worried that Rachel might take it badly, so that's why someone like Scotty is still up there for consideration, because you know, little old Scotty is not gonna cause a Winston like tantrum and be mad. And I feel like Rachel probably would be more likely to be like that, so that alone is enough to keep her somewhat safe for right now. But obviously, as the week goes on, she'll have to make the decision whether it's going to be a Scotty renom or a Rachel renom.
Yes. After hearing this conversation, I feel like maybe Rockstar stock should go up at least a dollar, because I think Rockstar is the most likely final two goat. And if Tyler is the one dragging her there, and there are a lot of women who are only willing to vote women, we could see a Rockstar upset or something along those lines. And we know how well that went for Big Brother 18 leading into Big Brother 19. So maybe we need to be a little wary of that. Because then we'll see Tyler on Big Brother 21, and because he didn't win, and then all of this stuff. So watch out for that. They have that conversation. Then Fessy comes in. She tells Fessy she's thinking about putting up Brett and JC. And Fessy's like, whoa, no. JC is a no-go. You do not put up JC. He is my little guy. I don't like that at all. And so she does mention Rachel as another option. Like, okay, maybe I could put up Rachel. Fessy pushes really hard. He says, JC is an asset for us. We should not be putting him up. He is good with people. He can help us. He is loyal to us. Bailey pushes back a little bit, but Fessy actually does some good work here for JC. It does seem like she has been swayed a bit toward the end of the conversation, more toward putting Rachel up on the block. That also seemed to be in line with what Haley was saying, as you said, where Haley was telling Bailey that they should try to put at least one girl up to avoid really just outing the all girl thing. This is going on. Fessy, Fessy's actually like, again, now that Caitlyn is gone, Fessy is actually playing the game a little bit, not super effectively, but he has some sway here with Bailey, and it does seem like he might be able to protect JC in this spot. But there are going to be some more effective players who are also in Bailey's ear that might be better at this. So we'll have to see where this goes. I think we'll keep going. I don't want to speculate toward the end of the day. Any comment on Fessy, Puya?
No, there was one thing when they were in the room talking about the whole revelations with Caitlyn, that whole group. He talked about something along the lines of, this is the first time I've had to fight the urge to do something for 31 days plus sequester. I was like, this is you fighting the urge? This is awful. So that's my only take on Fessy so far. That's non-game. I know that, but I feel like you guys should know that he is thinking these things.
Yeah, Fessy was like, you know, it's weird. Like, I haven't even, like, it hasn't even been hard not having any, you know, getting any. Hasn't even been difficult. Fessy, we watch you every single night all over Haley like a, I don't know, like Caleb to a pickle or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. pickle and a banana. Don't be telling us that you are finding it not difficult at all. Sir. Then Rockstar goes to Bailey. She is, of course, happy to hear that Brett is the target. Her best friend is going to go up on the block. Rockstar starts up with, you know, I don't think you should nominate Tyler. He's a wounded bird. And mm-hmm. Bailey agrees. She's like, yeah, I wasn't thinking that. We're on the same wavelength. No Tyler nominations here. Bailey, who used to hate Tyler, is now on Team Tyler. And his and Brett really took the place of Tyler there, and that was really all Rockstar had to say. She just wanted to make sure that Tyler wasn't going up the block, and she's happy that Brett's going up on the block.
That was her two cents. It took her a week of insanity to finally get what she wants, so she's happy with the result. And this just, again, it comes back to the fact, it's pretty amazing how much, because everyone is saying the energy, everything feels different. They feel like the pressure's off without Caitlyn there. So they can only imagine how different Tyler feels without her there. Like, Tyler goes from being double the size to being this big now, because he's so frail and fragile without her to their eyes. So he's getting the week off. He shouldn't be getting any time off. But he has a week off to regenerate and rebuild everything, reinvest all this emotional capital he has now, you know, sold out and is ready to put in other places. They're giving it to him. So it's pretty, pretty damn cool. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's all through his own work. There's just some oversight here by a lot of people and, you know, some fumbles that should not have worked in his way that have. To the point where now he's going to just sit here and reap all the rewards. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, it's like it's due to no strategic maneuver of his own working, but entirely down on, again, like his social work, his emotional work. People just like him and they feel good about him, and it blinds them to the true strategic nature of his game and to the correct move that they should be making. I keep hammering this point. It's the complete reverse of Vanessa, and I find it fascinating. Rob said they're giving him a chance to make a vibrational shift.
Yes.
So then JC has a conversation with Bailey. This is an important one for JC because he might go up on the block, and if he goes up on the block, he might go home. And Bailey wants to know, JC, are you with me? He says, yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. I wanted to work with you. I've always wanted to work with you. And this is true. What JC is telling Bailey is completely true. JC really shouldn't be a target for Bailey in really any way, because JC, as we know, wants to drag Bailey along to the very end of the game. And this HOH means nothing to him. He was like, this was a complete luck HOH. It doesn't even matter. Oh, no more luck HOHs. He thinks she's a weak player. He wants to drag her to the end. He tells her that his plan is he wants him, Fessy, Haley, Bailey, and Tyler. He wants those people at the end. That is fantastic for Bailey. That's basically all of Faute. And that means he wants to turn on level six. This is a good player for her to have in the game, especially since he's not very likely to change his opinion there. He is very dead set in his ways. He's going to really try and keep these people safe and bring these people to the end. And those are all people that Bailey is kind of working with. So he's doing his best to pitch this, but he's just been so all over the place that she doesn't think she can trust him. So she, you know, she's like, I get this, but like, are you really with me? Like, I don't know. Like, you seem to be good with everyone. You're like, you're all over the place. And he's like, no, you need to trust Fessy. He's so stupid. He's so stupid. You can't, but like, like he's our stupid, and you know we were gonna work together, and it's gonna be great. Don't worry about it. He kind of gets this, and Bailey's kind of like, okay, like I see what you're saying here. She's still like, Fessy really wants this to happen. Fessy really wants to make this work. I like, let's see this. I think at this point she's definitely leaning toward like, okay. Maybe I'll put up Rachel, and we'll see how Rachel feels about maybe being the pawn next to Brett.
Yeah. Yeah. And the two factors here that I feel like has JC on her radar is that, one, as much as Fessy loves the fact that he's a straight shooter, Bailey sees it as he voted with us once and it was the unanimous vote, which also he did not vote.
Yeah, that was not actually a vote that went.
Yeah. So he hasn't voted with them. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, when JC does make this grand pitch, it should ring all the whistles to Bela. This is good. This is good. But he also makes sure that she knows no rock star. I don't like.
Yes. Except for, yeah. He said that, yeah, the only reason I haven't worked with you, I've always wanted to work with you. The only reason I haven't yet is because of Caitlin and Rockstar, because they suck. So. he's very brutally honest. Oh, and he also says something like, I've had to be like nice to people because, you know, I want to say these mean things about them, but I can't. And he's like, look, as HOH, this is what you should be doing. You have two options. You can either get blood on your hands or not get blood on your hands.
Thanks, JC. Really killing it.
Wonderful insight.
Yeah.
So Bailey, I think at this point is in fact leaning toward Rachel as a pawn, even though she doesn't like pawns. And so she then has the conversation with Rachel. And she tells Rachel, Brett is my target, but I need somebody to put up next to him. I don't like pawns. I don't want to call them a pawn, but I need somebody to put up next to Brett. And Rachel's like, so you want me to be a pawn? And she's like, no, I don't, like I said, I don't like pawns, but maybe as somebody to put up, maybe. How would you feel about that? And Rachel's like, I do not want to be a pawn. I don't like that. And Bailey essentially, I was really like not really feeling how Bailey was handling this. She really basically just told Rachel straight up, it's probably going to be either you or JC up next to Brett. And it's just like, oh, now that information is out there, and even the person you don't nominate as a pawn is going to know that you wanted to nominate them as a pawn. So it's, you know, almost the same thing. And so Rachel is doing her best to try and convince her not to. She's trying to throw out some other names. She's like, what about Angela? What if you put up Angela? Bailey likes Angela more. Sorry. Bailey's like, no, not putting Angela up. They'd vote her out. Well, what about Rockstar? No, I'm not putting Rockstar up. It's like really just emphasizing the point. Like, I'm thinking about putting you up because I just like other people more. And so ultimately it comes down to like, okay, well, we'll all think about it. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, it's like trying to rebrand the word pawn isn't exactly going to change the story here. It's like, you can't be like, can you just be the seat filling specialist today? It's like, no, I still know what that implies. So it's not going to happen. Again, it goes back to the fact that she kind of knew Rachel was going to lose her cool on this. And if once she puts her up, it's kind of a situation where I think she's going to bank on the fact that Angela knows where they stand. Angela will talk Rachel, calm her down. Others will calm her down. They'll make her feel all right with this. Even if she's not all right with it at the moment or in like live when it happens, they'll be fine.
Yes. So Rachel leaves. Then Bailey talks to Scotty. She asks him if he flipped his vote this week. Mm-hmm. He says, nope, wasn't me. And she goes, sure. She does not believe him. He says he thinks it might have been Rachel, and all of this stuff. He is not going to come off as very convincing here. He is no Steve. He's no Steve. He says, here are the four options I think that you should consider nominating: Tyler, JC, Sam, and Brett. You should choose between those four. She says, not doing Tyler. Giving him a week off, not doing Sam. I'm really close to Sam. He's like, oh, really? And that obviously leaves JC and Brett there. He says, you go. Okay, so you go after them. And then next week, I will target those level six women, those three. I'm going to put two of those three up, Angela, Rachel, and Casey. I don't think you should touch them because you're working on them right now. I will go after them for you. This is a case I find we often get this with super fans who are kind of nerdy. They often overestimate their bonds with other players. So like Scotty is operating under the assumption that like Bailey is his number one and that she trusts him and he trusts her and they don't need to hang out that much because they're just really loyal to each other. And so he's trying to work out this game with her. Like, let's do this. You do this. I'll do this. I'll take the heat for you here. Meanwhile, she doesn't trust him. She doesn't think like she's thinking about maybe putting him on the block this week and he doesn't even realize it. And you know, his plan is good. It's just, he's again, overestimating the bond that he has. The same thing happened with Swaggy. The same thing happened with Tyler. He's probably going to be in for a rude awakening this week. And I find that this is a trend, I think, with this archetype.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, they've watched so much of this game where they'll see like the ideals. They see what they like, right? The whole, we're good. We don't even need to talk. Let's come back every 3 days and touch base. And he wants that. He believes he can do that, right? He sees that as a winning move. But what he doesn't realize is it takes a lot of work to get to that level with someone for them to be comfortable with you. So he is banking on these things. He probably needs to put a lot more work in them because otherwise it just seems kind of wishy-washy, right? So he gets to this point where it's like, oh, like we're kind of good, but we're not there yet. So I don't see you in that way. Because even though this kind of is ideal for Bailey, like, oh, this guy will touch go after the three people that I can't really do because I'm committed to them in some way, should be good. But at the same time, you know, he's talking about, oh, I think you should like, I'm going to give you this list of four. This is who I think you should go after. It's like, well, we haven't really been talking. So what gives you the right to come up here and start telling me what to do? And again, I just can't help but feel like the longer, because like at one point they thought, okay, maybe Swaggy's going to be in a battle back situation. The longer they're being removed from Swaggy being gone, the more she's going to be like, you sat there in his damn shirt and you voted him out. And then you pretend that it wasn't you for a week. And then you told me. So I feel like that is still going to be something that is also working against him. But he definitely needs to be doing, you know, a little bit more like what Tyler is doing. Kind of check in more, do more. Casey, amazing Casey. Social game on point. Talks with everybody. Bonds with everybody. I feel like Scotty needs to do more of that. But again, it goes back to what you said, where Scotty just feels complacent because he's watched this game and he believes he's doing what the greats have done.
Yeah. And Bailey even says to his face, like, look, you can be an evil genius all you want. You can betray whoever you want. Just don't do it to me. Yeah. And this should be a red flag to Scotty. If she thinks that he's a person that betrays people, why would she trust that he's not going to do it to her? He does. He says, I pledge my allegiance to you and essentially the rest of Faute. And it's true. He is loyal to them. Yeah. But he still remains a potential option to put on the block. Next up is Casey, and this is the most important conversation of the night so far, and you know, we'll see what happens today, but this is really going to be one of the more sticking ones. She has a very effective conversation. They talk about how they trust Tyler, and that they feel like Tyler is a really good person to have right now. Casey and Tyler talked about how Tyler said he was a free agent, so they want to keep reinforcing that particular term with Bailey. So Casey does that. She says, he's such a free agent right now. And Bailey says, yes, he is. We need to scoop him up. We need to be on top of that because other people are going to try and pick him up, but we should be the ones that grab him. Meanwhile, of course, Casey and Tyler have had a final two since like day two. And so Casey doing some very good work here to pull Bailey in on this. Then she points Bailey away from Rachel and sort of towards JC instead, saying that, you know, JC would probably be the better person to put up on the block. I can ask Rachel how she feels about you and like how she feels about going on the block and like get a sense of like whether or not that might be a good idea and all of that. And so essentially undoing all of the work that Fessy had done and making sure that Rachel stays off the block, at least for now, and trying to get JC up there instead.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I feel like the way KC carries herself and the way she talks, when you have her seal of approval, it's very powerful in this house right now because KC hasn't been seen as someone who's like caused any rifts. No one has a problem with her. So if you're good with Casey, it's kind of like you're universally beloved. You should be seen that way. So the Tyler, get her giving the Tyler bump is really great. The words they used was great. This alliance might be my favorite, the Tyler Casey of it all, by far. And it'll be interesting to see what she says moving forward today with the Rachel of it all, and how she's able to relay that back to reinforce potentially JC goes up. Because again, we have to remember that, yes, JC's been with them, but JC hasn't been in the level six or the level five now. JC has been on the outer looking in. So if they have to pick, they're going to pick JC going up over one of their core own.
Yes. So. And I do, the chat just reminded me, I did forget the Brett conversation, with Casey. It was very inconsequential. He just went up there. He was like, hey, you know, so on and so forth. Very similar actually to the one he had with Scotty, and where Scotty was like, oh, he's got the mist. Bailey was just like, okay. Like, it was very, very, very basic. Nothing really to note there. He remained her target after the conversation. Nothing much to mention there. So back to Casey and Bailey. Casey is telling her, you know, thinking about it, you know, Brett versus JC, you know, this is the last week before jury, and you know, Brett would be a better juror, don't you think? Just throwing ideas out there, like Brett would be a much more logical, you know, kind of juror. JC in the jury house, could you imagine JC in the jury house? Oh my God, he'd be a terror. And Bailey's like, you know, I hadn't thought about that. That's a very good point. Like, and starts to come around on the idea, you know, maybe we should get JC out instead of Brett. And Casey is, you know, trying to reinforce this. She's like, yeah, you know, I have a good relationship with Brett. I can ask him where his head is at regarding you. You're not one of his targets. And, you know, if it ever came to that, I could probably sway him to not target you. I don't think I could do that with JC. And Bailey's like, OK, yeah. I'm kind of like this kind of makes a little bit of sense. And now all of a sudden, JC might be one of the targets here. He is in the line of fire. You know, this is dangerous for him.
Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous for him. And it's interesting because once you get to that point of jury, it's kind of like you look at them as two lenses. One lens is obviously, are they going to vote personally or are they going to vote strategically? So right now it looks like the edge is to Brett because they can sell it that way. Brett seems more level headed. He seems less likely to have outbursts. You know, Bailey's someone who's had these like a very rough conversation with JC in the past. She knows how he behaves. She knows how he talks. Brett seems a lot more level headed, given that she also witnessed firsthand how Brett handled the Rockstar situation and stuff. That's one. Two is, as a for lack of a better term, as a flatmate for the remainder of the summer. If you end up in jury, you're going to be hanging out with them all the time. So again, JC, you talked about it today, Taryn, about how every time we're on that damn balcony, JC's so loud, everyone can hear him. He hogs the oxygen. So that's another factor to consider here too. And again, it goes back to the fact that just Casey is so damn chill. And when Casey talks to you, you feel like you're just hanging out with, you know, one of your friends, like very out of the game almost, to the point where she can talk to you and give you advice and stuff. And you feel like this person's looking out for me. They're looking out for my betterment. There's no agenda here. Like, she's telling her, I'm pretty close to Brett. I can ask him how he feels. I can find out stuff you want me to know. And she doesn't take this as, she's close to Brett. Brett's not close to me. This is a problem. She sees it as, Casey, what a lad, looking out for me. I love you. Okay. I like where your head is at. So again, Casey doing ace work last night.
Yes. So that's where, you know, Bailey's head was potentially at after the Casey conversation. She then talks to Fessy again before the night is over, and he is going to once again push very, very hard against JC, even going up on the block. He might have again kind of like scared her away from doing that. It's hard to know how effective he was here. It seemed like Bailey was pushing back more so than she had been previously in the night. But I don't think her mind is set yet on the nominations. I think what she was telling Fessy, right, you know, and again, this was like an hour and a half ago, less. This was like, yeah, no, it was about an hour and a half ago. where she was essentially saying, like, probably like Brett and JC. And she even in this Fessy talk talked a lot more about, like, maybe we should take Scotty out this week. Maybe that should be the option. Which was like seemingly came out of nowhere because, yeah, you know, she was off of, now she's thinking maybe not Brett. And if Fessy is saying not JC, maybe it should be Scotty, because she seems to be, you know, one of those three seems to be one of the people that she would want gone. She definitely wants a guy to go. And then maybe Rachel in there as a pawn somewhere, either as the replacement or the initial nominee. And so it's seemingly coming down to this stuff. So we'll just have to see. I'm sure there are going to be more conversations. I mean, like I said, Bailey, like just went to bed. So she's going to be out for a while, and I don't know how much time she'll have to talk to people before the nominations now. So we'll have to see what happens today, and then with the nominations, a lot left up in the air, a lot of game to be played this week, between who's going to go up and then who's going to be the targets, who's going to have the votes. It's going to be very close if Level 6 decides to go against the consensus. So very, very interesting, and it could all come down to Sam's vote. If it's something like Brett versus JC or something along those lines, and Bailey does still want Brett out, then Faute is voting Brett out, then Level 6 would have the votes to keep him if they do have Sam. But we know Sam loves JC, so this could be an interesting week.
Yeah, as long as Sam doesn't 2-1 cup her damn vote, I am okay with whatever Sam wants to do, as long as she picks a side, plays the game. The other last thing I want to say here, Taryn, is that this whole last week, they're talking about how JC was advertising the whole, if we get rid of Caitlyn, we have Tyler again. Tyler's available. I feel like that was a mistake for him to like push so much, because now you're looking at it the way Fessy keeps defending JC. I feel like if Bailey has a little time to think about it, she'll be like, he's really trying to keep him. If I get rid of JC, Fessy is mine forever. Fessy is mine till the end of time. The only person he's pushing to keep and defend so much and talks up so much is JC, not counting Haley, of course. So this is another factor going into it where I feel like, from when the night, with the night going on and on, the one thing that was for certain is that Rachel is not the target in any sense of the word. She's only there as a placemaker, as a pawn to defuse this whole women's alliance from being blown out of proportion or being revealed. So it's one of these three guys being the target. Two of them are going to go up for sure. And we'll see. Oh, not for sure, but like at least initial and then post. So we'll see how all that falls down. There's not all that much time left in the day for today once they wake up. So we'll probably see a rapid fire once they wake up, be on top of it. It's going to be fun. Also, if I can make a request, since I'm not going to be here and you're going to be here with Liana tomorrow, can you guys have a Caitlyn Twitter watch? Make sure if you see her on Twitter, you let us know what goes down, because I need to know. I need the goss.
Of course. Yes. I had something I was going to say, and then the prospect of Caitlyn on Twitter just wiped it from my mind. I can't remember.
Yeah.
All right, I guess that's it. Anything else you wanted to say, Puya?
No, not that I can think of. I think everything was covered, and all eyes on the new week. Should be fun.
Yes. All right. So make sure you tune in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, where there'll be a lot more to talk about, I'm sure, about the live feeds. And then, of course, Sunday, we will have the recap for that episode and everything going on there, and everything. The Social Strategy Sundays will happen on Twitch. Make sure you check that out. I think that's all we've got for you. What I was going to say was, Jay, you know, we talked a lot about how this is a bad move for Angela and the rest of the women of Level 6 to vote Caitlyn out. But like, it should also be pointed out, also a bad move for JC last week. You know, he made the decision first, so like we kind of forget about it. But like his whole thing about like needing to take out Caitlyn in order to control Tyler, it was not true in the first place, and it has put him in a very vulnerable position. The fact that Caitlyn is now gone, and the fact that he pushed so hard, that's why we're seeing JC in the position he's in. So that was the thought. Ah, I feel so much better. I was going to be really upset with myself. When I was like, what did I have to say? All right. Thank you everyone for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Puya is at Puyaism. I am at Armstrong Taren, and we will see you next time.